Morning, everyone. My name is Devashish Shah. I'm a postdoc at Penn State. I'm going to switch the gear a little bit from bioenergy system to organic system, but you have no escape from nitrous oxide. Don't worry, hang in there. So the topic of my talk is today is a statement that co-locating fresh cover crop residues with manure triggers nitrous oxide emissions from organic cropping system. So as we realize that the demand for organic grains and other organic products are increasing every year, and it is one of the fastest growing industries in this country. However, United States, it imports more than 50% of its grain from overseas. And earlier in this year, there was a controversy about the quality of organic products that has been imported from overseas. Million tons of organic grains, corn and soybean, they were grown as conventionally and then came to the United States port, and magically they turned into organic. So miracle happens, right? So with that, so it's pretty clear that there is a need to increase the production of organic grain in this country. We have to be self-dependent and reduce reliability of external imports. That means, and it's happening actually, the acreages under organic systems, they are increasing every year steadily. So that means there will be more reliance on tillage, cover crop, and manure, because these three are the important pillars of organic agriculture to supply nutrients to the cash crop, as well as tillage and cover crop. They are important components to suppress weeds in organic systems. Also, these three components can interact with each other to influence nitrous oxide emissions from these organic systems. As we know that we save a lot of carbon footprint from an organic system by not using the mineral fertilizers, but if we have a lot of emissions of nitrous oxide, which is a greenhouse gas, then we can have a change in direction in terms of carbon footprint, right? So we have to keep the emissions lower. So the tillage can be complete inversion tillage like moldboard plow, or it can be no-till or reduced till. And it can associated with cover crop termination or may not be, and also manure can be broadcasted, injected, and several sort of these combinations that can happen and that can differentially influence nitrous oxide emissions. In the northeastern United States, typically in Pennsylvania, it's a typical practice that in the spring before corn, we broadcast manure on the existing cover crop, terminated cover crop residue, which is either, it can be alfalfa, it can be red clover, or it can be hairy veg. And then we do inversion tillage, complete turnover of soil at like 25 to 30 centimeter of depth. It's a lot of disturbance going on here, and also there is a lot of carbon and nitrogen input at that point of time when there is, at least for next 15 days after this management, there is literally no carbon uptake by the crops because crop is too small. So our hypothesis is that this is a time window when we can expect a lot of nitrous oxide emissions from organic systems. With that hypothesis, our objectives were to quantify nitrous oxide emissions from four corn, soybean, and small winter grain rotations, which are organically managed, certified organic systems, with varying tillage, cover crop, and manure management. And also identify the pathways to control N2 emissions to accrue on the other benefits, environmental benefits that organic agriculture provides. So we are lucky at Penn State to have this multi-million dollar huge project called Reduced Tillage Organic System Experiment, in short ROSE. The preliminary objective of this project was to control weeds in organic system, as well as to work on the nutrient supply to the cash crop. So we have four corn, soybean, and winter grain rotations. So I assigned them as system 1, system 2, system 3, system 4, which are not very intuitive, but next slide I will make it intuitive. And it's a full entry cropping system. That means each crop phase, it appears every year. And it's the randomized complete block design with four replicates. So this is one of the blocks that I highlighted. And within that block, we have three crop entry. This can be corn this year, next year it's gonna be soybean, and then winter grain. And within that crop entry, we have four systems that are randomly assigned. So what are the difference between these systems? 1 to 4 are different way of managing these three components, tillage, cover crop, and manure in these systems. So So let's look at that. So these are the cropping systems. So it's a 3-year of cropping systems. And in the below, there are different symbols for manure operation or tillage operations. So in system one, we have winter grain. And we harvest the winter grain, and then we plant. Then we apply manure and do inversion tillage, and then we plant the cover crop. So it's getting the manure in the cover crop phase. And we let the cover crop over the winter, and then in the spring, around mid-June, we come and we no-till, we roll the cover crop with roller crimper, and then we no-till plant corn for silage. And then we have cereal rye next year, and then soybean. Then in system two, so I call it, in terms of looking at corn phase, I call it like fall manure, no-till corn silage, hairy veg corn silage production. In system two, we have the similar winter grain. The only difference is there, here we do only chisel plow, not applying manure in the cover crop, hairy veg cover crop. And in spring, we do apply, we terminate the cover crop and we apply manure and we do inversion tillage and then we plant corn, till corn for grain production. And then we have interseeding of annual ryegrass and radish. So we call it like spring manure till cover, till hairy veg corn grain production system. So system three and four, they are pretty similar in terms of what's happening before corn. So we apply manure and terminate the cover crop. The only difference is that the red clover, which is the cover crop in this system, was frost seeded within the winter grain, existing winter grain in early February or something. So the only thing that I would like to point that the difference between system one and the rest of the systems in terms of what's happening before corn, just before corn in spring. So just to give a visual idea of what's happening in these systems, system one versus system two and two to four, so we have late cover crop termination around mid-June. So we have higher biomass of cover crop in those systems, also higher proportion of grass in that system. Then we cover crop roller crimped, and then no-till plant of corn in the high residue of corn, cover crop, sorry. And in other systems, we have early cover crop termination, and you can see the differences in biomass. And then we terminate the cover crop, manure broadcasted, and then we do inversion tillage and plant corn. So N2O sampling is, we follow the similar protocol that earlier speaker said. We use chamber-based method. The static chamber-based nitrous oxide flask measurement started from 2016 April and is still going on and will still continue next year. Sampling frequency weekly to twice or thrice in a week in the spring after the manure application, very continuous. And also the ancillary measurement of soil moisture and temperature. So cumulative flux estimation by linear interpolation, and we used. So because it's a system level experiment, it's very difficult to analyze statistically. So we use a different approach of analyzing the data to find out which variables are controlling nitrous oxide emissions. So we use the machine learning approach, data-driven approach that is non-parametric, doesn't depend on your assumption of parametric assumptions, and to find out factors controlling nitrous oxide emissions. So some data. Nitrous oxide emissions. So we have 2 years of data in a 3 years of rotation. So it can be either corn, soybean, or spelled like winter grain or corn. I focused on corn because that's the maximum emitting phase of the rotation. So next two slides, you will have the same format. So in the x-axis, we have time, 2016 to 2017. Y-axis, we have nitrous oxide. The units are same in two slides, the next slide also, so you don't have to worry about that. And the unit is gram of nitrogen per hectare per day, daily flux. And we have four systems color-coded. And the top bar, we have precipitation inverted hanging bar there in millimeter. So here you see in 2000, so this is the cover crop phase in the spring. We have very low emission. So at this point, we terminate the cover crop and applied manure here. And we see an increase of nitrous oxide emissions in system two to system four, but not in system one, which was still under cover crop. However, here at this point, we rolled the cover crop in system one, and we have seen some emissions of nitrous oxide from system one. However, still we see a significant difference between in terms of nitrous oxide emission between system one and other systems, because in system one we are avoiding the coupling of manure application and cover crop termination in that system. And the next year we have soybean, and we have pretty much comparatively low emissions in soybean. So here is a Again, 2016 was under winter grain, and 2017 was corn. The similar story here, so this point here, so very low emissions in the spelt, and we harvested spelt here, and we applied manure in system two and planted cover crop and chisel plow in system two, if you remember the cropping system diagram. Then we see some emissions of nitrous oxide from fall manure application in system one, but that is comparatively very much lower than other systems. And we kind of see the same story here in the corn in 2017. So look at the cumulative flux. So corn, soybean, 2016-17. Then here you can see the y-axis, the total emission, and I divided into different crop phases because that's very important when you were working with system level experiment. So you can see that the corn emission from the corn, which is brown color coded, is exiting other crop phases. And the system one has almost 3 to 4-fold lower emissions than other systems. The similar story here, 2016 under winter grain and 2017 under corn, we see the similar kind of story here. So yeah, avoiding manure application in decomposing cover crop biomass in system one, that can substantially reduce nitrous oxide emissions in organic systems. So let's look at how different factors control nitrous oxide emission. So what you see here is called, it's a black box model called random forest. And the specific tool here is called variable importance plot. So what does it mean? The variables that are at the top, they are highly important than the other variables. And the x-axis is called percent increase of mean square error. That means if you remove the model, remove the parameter from the model, forest model, or propagation of error due to permutation of that variable. So the variables here, the manure residue, legume biomass, cumulative precipitation in last 2 days of sampling, soil temperature, volumetric water, timing of tillage, cropping system, and manure timing. So you can see the manure, legume, precipitation, and soil water, they are playing a crucial role here. But it's a black box model, right? It doesn't tell you any threshold, any kind of response, shape of the response of these variables with nitrous oxide emissions, right? So to do that, I used the random forest model and analyzed for partial dependence of these independent variables on nitrous oxide emissions, and we see this kind of response. So this is a usual three-dimensional diagram. It's a partial dependence plot. So in that axis, you have soil temperature is cooler to warmer, and then volumetric moisture is drier to wetter, and the y-axis the response variable, that is nitrous oxide. So here you can see that the increasing temperature increases nitrous oxide emissions, and that emissions even higher when the soil is moist, like more than 30% of moisture. So this is, I tried to do the same thing with the legume biomass and volumetric moisture content. So it's very interesting that we found a very clear threshold of legume biomass in the cover crop composition. That's the 2 megagram, 2 ton of legume biomass. That can be either hairy veg or clover. So when that biomass exceeds 2 megagram per hectare, you see nonlinear increase of nitrous oxide emissions from these systems. And the emission is even higher, the same story here, when the volumetric moisture is greater than 35%. So in conclusions, so organic systems can be a significant source of nitrous oxide emissions, especially under the cocktail of high manure application in legume-rich cover crop biomass. So we have to be smart enough to handle the handle the legumes in those systems. And legume biomass greater than 2 megagram, that's a threshold that our analysis told us to increase nitrous oxide emissions. But at the same time, on a positive note, the system one, where we have seen by avoiding this manure incorporation and cover crop termination can significantly reduce nitrous oxide emission in the system. But that system has problem also. It's not that it's a perfect system, because we have seen some nitrogen limitation in that system in the corn phase, because corn, we don't apply any manure in corn. We apply manure in the cover crop. So we have still some work to do on that. And obviously, there are tremendous opportunities to work on fine-tuning the cover crop composition and the termination time to mitigate nitrous oxide emissions for sustainable organic crop production. So this was a part of the story. So second part, we are interested to identify the specific microbial processes that control nitrous oxide emissions in response to tillage, in response to cover crop and manure management. So we have seen there is an interaction between when we apply manure in the cover crop, we have increased nitrous oxide emissions. But which component is playing the major role? Is the cover crop biomass or is the manure nitrogen that's creating the condition for nitrous oxide emission? So to do that, we did a microscale experiment, in situ experiment, where we applied the, we measured nitrous oxide emissions, and also we manipulated the system by either removing the cover crop or removing the manure or removing both to see what happens to nitrous oxide emissions. And we also used isotopic tool, natural abundance isotopomer of nitrous oxide, as well as molecular tool, isolating the DNA for nitrifier and denitrifier to see what happens when you do the changes in the management. And that's all about our poster, so please join us if you're interested. It's today, it's 4 to 6 p.m. and poster number 1106. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you.